We also we continue today in Simon Lamed Beis Sif Mem Gimel. So the Shulchan Aruch writes the following: Charit Shalshin Dahinu Chuda Lemata Yagiu Ad Makom Atafar. So yesterday we began to discuss the halachos concerning the shin on the Tefillin Shalosh, four pronged shin on one side, three pronged shin on the other. So now the Shulchan Aruch says that the Charit Shalshin, meaning the bottom part of the shin, should extend all the way down to the stitching of the bias itself. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Kuf Tzadik Vav Shalshin Bein Diyomin Bein Bismol. This halacha applies the same way both to the shin on the right and the shin on the left. Yagia Tahainu Ad Hatitura Mamish. Literally, the bottom of the shin should extend down all the way to the base. Ubidi'evet kasher afilu lo higia kol sheyesh tzuras hashin alav. But bidi'evet, the Mishnah Berurah writes, if the shin did not extend all the way down, then the shin is still kasher, as long as it is recognizable as a shin. So the Rama continues, he says, v'chein hayud shebishin tzarech liga lemata b'shuli hashin. Similarly, again, the yud on the shin, which refers to the top part, should ultimately extend down to the base of the shin. V'lo yimsho hashin harbe. The idea ultimately is, says the Shulchan Aruch, that in reality the bottom part of the shin ultimately should be seen on the by the stitching as well. So the idea that the Shulchan Aruch is saying is that all the parts of the shin should really be in alignment. So the base of the shin should extend down towards the stitching. The prongs, or let's say the stalks of the shin, which represent yuds on top, ultimately should be lined up corresponding towards the bottom of the shin, and everything should extend downwards towards the stitching. Halacha mem dalid, writes the Shulchan Aruch, titura de tfil. The titura, which is the base upon which the bias, the primary box that holds the parashios, sits on, is a halach l'moshe m'sinai, Sinaitic law. The idea is that we put an extra piece of leather on, because remember, again, the bias itself, let's say in the shalrosh where it's four compartments, and the shalyad where it's one big compartment, but the idea is that it's open. The titura represents the base, the piece of leather that you put on the bottom of the bias to seal up the parshios. Vinira kein daf shal gesher, and it has the appearance as like a board from a bridge. Hanikra titura. That is called the titura. So the name is taken from the same word that connotes a plank of a bridge. So you put this on the bottom, ultimately, again, to go ahead and close in the parashios. The Mishnah Berurah comments in Reish Aleph, Shiyasim, Va'afilu ladas hasobrim da'batim tzrichim lios kula me'or echad mamish. Even according to the opinions who hold that the batim should be made from one piece of leather, Mikomakom lo ba'inan shia titura va'ma'avarte im habatim me'or echad, ela afilu m'or bifne atmo kasher, v'zesha kasam ha'chaber shiyasim. So again, Mishnah Berurah just points out over here that the titura and the ma'avarte, as well as we'll discuss in a second, but as much as we said that you should make the bias out of one piece of leather, the titura need not be made from the same piece of leather as the batim. It could be a separate piece. However, Mishnah Berurah ends, "Umikomakom im be'efshari tov lahadir gam bazel latzis das machmirin bazevayim be'alacha." But again, lechatchila, if it's possible to make all of it, the bias and the titura, out of one piece of leather, of course that is even better. The Shulchan Aruch continues, "Ma'avarta the tefillin, the ma'avarta," which we will see, is the part that extends past the titura, that has the hollowed out inside, that allows the ritzua, the strap, to pass through. So ma'avarta the tefillin halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That is also a Sinaitic law. V'hainu sha'ara titura yehe aruch mitzad echad. And what this means is you extend the leather of the titura in one direction. V'ya'ase bo ha'ma'avarta. And you make a passageway through it. How so? Ketzad. Yachtechenu b'shnei tzadim. You cut it open on both sides. But of course, one must make sure that the width is not the size of the entire titura. Because the interesting part is, you still want the squareness of the titura to be recognizable. So the idea is, we want the ma'avarta, although it's an extension of the titura, to almost be reckoned separately than the titura. Let the titura go ahead and maintain its squareness, and the ma'avarta is off it, is an extension of it. Uba osa ma'avarta overes haritzua, and again, the ritzua, the strap, passes through the ma'avarta. Va'ashem kach nikra ma'avarta. That's why it's called the ma'avarta, from lashon of ma'avar, to pass through. Gam b'tfilin shayad ya'aseh titura ma'avarta. And this halacha this halacha of both the titura as well as the ma'avarta is a din in that in the shayat as well as the sharosh. Yegalgel kol parsha misofa letchilasa. Now we're going to talk about the actual way to roll up the parshos and insert them into the bayis. So one should go ahead and roll up the entire parsha misofa letchilasa, starting at the end of the parsha. Meaning, so again, Hebrews obviously written from right to left. So starting on the left side, you roll in the karcham biklaf katan, and you go ahead and after you roll it up, you wrap it in an additional piece of parchment. If you take a look at the Mishneh Berurah for just a moment, he says, Resh Dalid, Misofa Litchilasa, Be'ish Shenos Nalabesa, Kimo Mezuzah Shneglelis Me'echad Klap Ishma, Velo Lehevach. So the idea is, this is true not just by Tillin, but by Mezuzah as well, that you begin rolling it from the end of the parsha. So, meaning at the end of the line of the text. So from the left side, you roll it in towards the right. After that, a person should go ahead and wrap it in a small piece of cloth, a small piece of parchment afterwards. So he writes over here, b'klaf katan, v'adin b'chatichas begedim ein lo kaf. So again, the Mishneh Berurah seems to say that you could even wrap it in a piece of material afterwards if you don't have an additional piece of parchment. V'yesh makpidin milakarchan ela b'klaf kosher. Some are makpid to only wrap the parsha in cloth that would be kosher for writing itself. Now again, his idea over here is that klaf kosher, meaning as opposed to material. So although the Mishneh Berurah quoted an opinion that said that you could write it, that you could wrap it in a piece of material, lechatchila the Mishneh Berurah says one should not do this. V'alocha l'moshe misinai, sheyichroch aleha sa'ar behema o chaye tohorim. And there is another Sinaitic law that you should wrap around the parasha a hair from a kosher animal. If you look in Reish Ches, says in the Mishneh Berurah, "Me'avalach l'Moshe Misinai, lachin im lo karach aser aleh, pasul af shekarach aleh klaf." Therefore, if one did not go ahead and wrap the hair, what we call the sar ha'egel, the calf's hair, cow's hair around the parsha, ultimately, again, the tefillin are psulim. Haga, Rama comments, "V'noagim lichroch seir ala parsha, ba'achar kach kochren alav klaf kosher." V'chozim v'karchim alav seir. See, the Rama quotes over here that the practice is we have the parsha, we then go ahead and wrap the cow's hair around the parsha, then we put a piece of parchment around the parsha, and then another calf's hair on top of the parsha. So the Rama quotes, so Mishneh Berurah quotes over in Reish Tes, he says, "V'noagim lichroch ki ish omrim shiichroch aser al gufa parsha, v'achar kach yichroch haklaf lamala v'yishom lehefech." Because since there's a machlokes as to where exactly the cow's hair should go, therefore we cover all of our bases. First tie the parsha on the cow's hair, then put the piece of parchment on top of it, then tie the piece of parchment again. V'noagu, I'm back in the mechaber, v'noagu shiyeh ser shel egel. And the custom is that we go ahead and we use, as I mentioned, the ser shel egel, a calf's hair. And Mishneh Berurah comments on this and he says, in Reish Yud, shel egel, k'deshe yiskar ma'ase egel, in order that one should remember the sin of the golden calf, v'lo yechta, one should not sin, the gam k'de lechaper al avonze, also to atone for the sin of the golden calf, the kasav elio rabba, de mizeh atam tov lasos kol tikon tefillin me'or egel, u'lafuke me'osan sha'osan artus me'or tayish. They're using this logic, the Mishneh Berurah says, you should preferably make tefillin in general out of calf skin, in order that the tefillin itself should serve as a kapara for the cheta egel. For the sin of the golden calf, v'imlom back up top to the shulchan aruch, v'imlom matzah shel egel korech b'shal para o shel shor. And if you can't find the calf's hair, it's okay. You could use a cow's hair, or you could use an ox's hair. However, v'roche tzaser heitav betchila ad shiyeh noki. Right? So he says, however, one should wash the hair very carefully. So of course that it's clean. Ktsas ser zetzar shiyire chutz. And a little bit of this hair should extend out on top of the batim. So again, you could see this on your tefillin, on the tefillin shel rosh, that you can go ahead and you could see that there's a little bit of the hair that comes out from the front of the shel rosh. So the Mishneh Berurah comments over here, Reish Yud Aleph, Kitzas Seyar, Ayim Magin Avram, Ayim Chidush Rabbi Kiva, Shehiskim, Sheseyar Yotziya, Pachos Me'orech Seorah. So the idea is it should be less than the size of a seora of a barley bean, barley grain. Chutz lebatin yud resh yud beis. He says yesh omrim she etel habayis shemunach ba parshas kadosh veyesh omrim etel v'haya im shemoa v'tov she yetzei mi parshas v'haya im shemoa v'tzad hapona leparshas kadosh. So the idea is this extends from the area right in front, or I should say, we extend the hair that wraps the parsha of Hayayim Shamoa, and we go ahead and we extend it towards the parsha of Kadesh Likol Bechor. Bosei, we will stop over here for today. Emir Tashem, we will pick up tomorrow in Simin Lamed Beis Sif Mem Hei. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.